Brethren, there's a verse that we hear often. It says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I think that over the last couple of years, that verse from Hebrews 13 is actually probably one of the most quoted, or at least referred to, verses in the messages that we've heard. It's a very encouraging verse. And I suspect that that promise has helped many of us through a lot of trials. At the same time, it can raise questions. You know, many of us who have been around for years can think of many, many people who should be here but are not. And as we look at their lives, it may not look like Christ is still with them. And even in our own lives, as we look back, there are probably been perhaps many times when we wondered if God was truly with us. So, does Christ's promise to never leave us come with conditions? I want to look at some examples in the Old Testament that can help answer that question. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we're told of the early reign of righteous King Asa. And after 10 years of peace, Judah was attacked by a huge army, which God helped Asa and Judah, excuse me, I'm tripping over a cord here, helped them defeat. And on the way back from that victory, Asa was met by a prophet of God with a message. And that's in chapter 15, and verse 1, which says, Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Eternal is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Okay. Now, the last part of that passage might make one wonder if Christ's promise does have qualifications. Because it seems to say that if we are not diligently following God, he will leave us. Yet, does it really say that? How can we know for sure? Well, let's use a couple of very basic Bible study tools and dig into this verse. And when we do, we will see that what is said here and what is said in, you know, by Christ in the promise that is quoted in Hebrews don't contradict each other, but actually they give us a deeper understanding of how it is that God works with us and actually all mankind. And that understanding is very encouraging. First, let's look at the meaning of the original Hebrew words used, starting with the phrase, found of you. It comes from the Hebrew word matzah, not matzos, but matzah. It literally means to come forth to. So what Asa and the people were told was, in American English, if you seek God and try to follow his way, he will come to you. He will be with you. You will see him working in your life. And that's a very encouraging promise. But what about the last part of that verse where it says, if you forsake God, he will forsake you? Well, the word translated forsake in the Hebrew is the word azab. And it means to loosen in the sense of relinquishing, which means to give up on, or to loosen in the sense of permitting. It says something else. I got to find my place. Permitting or allowing. So, you know, that's quite a range of meaning. But it's not quite the same as our modern usage of the word forsake, which, you know, according to the dictionary.com, is to quit or leave entirely, to abandon, to desert. It's a very, you know, our use of the word is very, very strong, very harsh. But what about the Greek word that's translated forsake in Hebrews 13? Strong's lexicon says that it means to leave behind in some place, or in a bad sense, to desert, which is, you know, actually quite similar to our English word. The definitions alone tell us quite a bit. That word in Hebrews 13 tells us that Christ will never leave or abandon us. He won't throw us away. The word forsake in 2 Chronicles tells us something a little different. As I said, the word azad, like a lot of Hebrew words, has a range of meanings. You know, it can mean to give up on, in the sense like the Greek or the English, or it can mean to loosen in the sense of permitting or allowing, depending upon the context. So what is the context in 2 Chronicles with respect to Asa and Judah? Well, Asa was one of the good kings of Judah. Remember, most of the kings for Israel and Judah led the people away from God, away from the covenant that the nation had with God. Eventually, Judah would go into captivity in Babylon because of their rejection of God's ways and his way of life. But after 70 years, many of the people would be allowed to return, and they would rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And in Nehemiah, you know, that was done under Ezra and Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, it used to be here, we have a long list of the times that the nations rebelled and departed from God's way of life. They forsook God. But did God abandon them? If you go to verse 30, let's look at what that tells us. After all this list of all these times where Israel abandoned God, verse 30 tells us, yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets, yet they would not listen. Therefore, you gave them into the hands of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, you had great mercy. You did not utterly consume them nor forsake them. For you are God, gracious and merciful. And so this text, this, you know, this is the context of that message to Asa and to his armies. It tells us which of those definitions of Ahzeb God intended. God told Judah and King Asa, if they continued to look to him and obey his laws and statutes, to live his way of life, he would come to them and bless them. If, however, they chose to rebel and to stop living by his statutes and laws, his way of life, you know, he would let them do so. However, he would loose them from his protection, from his care. You know, we know eventually what they chose and the captivity that resulted. Many times, God has allowed his chosen people to refuse to obey him and to live, you know, to live by his laws. He permitted them to leave his protection and to do their own thing. And generally that led to oppression, you know, from the time of the judges until the destruction by Rome and the dispersion of the Jews, you know, through all the nations. But God never utterly forsook them. Even in their rebellion and in their captivities, he was with them, making sure that they were never totally destroyed so that he could eventually deliver them. The point, brethren, is this. When Israel forsook God, God forsook them only by permitting them to go their own way and suffer the consequences. He was still with them, protecting them so that they would not be hurt too badly. You know, it reminds me of something that my mother used to enjoy telling people. She claimed that when I was a toddler, I crawled under the table and stood up and banged my head. Allegedly, I sat down and said a word that I learned from my father and stood up again. Same result. Allegedly, I repeated this 5 or 6 times while my mother stood by watching and trying not to laugh. When I asked her years later why she let me keep banging my head, she said, I knew you weren't going to kill yourself and eventually you'd get smart enough to figure you couldn't stand up under the table. You know, in a way, that's what God has been doing with Israel, well, with all mankind, and actually in each of us, for that matter, which brings this down to an individual level. Yes. There are a number of examples in the Bible that we could look at, but I think the most obvious is Jonah. You know, Jonah was a servant of God, but when God told him to go and preach to their enemies in Nineveh, he refused. He tried to run away from God, and God permitted him to go. He loosed him. But God did not abandon Jonah. You know, through the rest of the book of Jonah, we see how God continually worked with Jonah. We see God giving Jonah trials, then rescuing him, bringing him back to where he was meant to be, and in the process, teaching Jonah more about God's nature and God's character. But what about us, brethren? Excuse me. Have you ever thought about how God deals with us in much that same way? If we look at our lives, I think we will all have to admit that there have been times when we forsook God. I have my story, and I know many of you have similar stories. I suppose we could even match some of our stories to some of the stories that are in the Bible. There are similarities. And yet, brethren, we are all here. God did not just abandon us or throw us away, you know, when we forsook him and his way. When Christ said that he would never abandon us, he meant it. He may let us go our own way for a time, even if it brings hurt to ourselves or to someone we love. But he will never stop being involved in our lives. He is always there protecting us, especially spiritually. You know, he constantly works with us through the choices that we make so that he can eventually bring us back to him in deeper repentance and in a deeper relationship with him and with our Father. Of course, we do have to be willing. We have to learn to accept the repentance he gives us. But this should give us great hope and encouragement, brethren, not just for ourselves, but also for so many others that whom we know, who seem to have forsaken our Father. We have to remember that he loves them, and he will continue to work with them to bring them home also. You know, truly, Christ and our Father will never leave us or forsake us.